Hi, the Black Talk Media Project would like to invite you to become a member of the BTR Community subscription-based social media platform. BTR Community is a platform that was set up for the listening audience of Black Talk Radio Network, the number one independent Black radio network online. For just $24 per year, your subscription gives you access to an interactive space to share information with like-minded people with your privacy guaranteed. Your subscription will go a long way to help us maintain and improve our current media platforms. It will also help provide a budget so that we can begin the task of establishing localized media centers and radio stations across the United States. The best way to show your support and appreciation for what we do here at Black Talk Radio is to subscribe. Help us to help you be informed. Join BTRCommunity.com today.
The views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing
cake. Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold.
Welcome everyone to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host Dave from LA, coming to you live from FEMA Region Number 6. Today is August the 17th, 2018. It is a Friday. It is a financial Friday, and looking forward to having a show for you all today. Thank you for listening. If you'd like to get in on the conversation at any time, give us a call, 704-802-5056. 704-802-5056 is the call-in number for today's show, and would love for you to engage in it and definitely do that. Everyone, let's continue to support Black Talk Radio Network. Donations are needed in order for this network to stay on air. Please, please go to the website for this network, Black Talk Radio Network, www.blacktalkradionetwork.com. Hit the donation prompt, and also you can support the network by being a member in its social media platform known as BTR Community. And you can find that at www.btrcommunity for only $24 a year, $24 once a year. That will give you your overall membership, that will support the network, keep it going, because there's a cost to being able to have bringing you the programming that is brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. And so that will support and make sure that that happens so that you can continue to get what you have been, what you have already deemed as being relevant and necessary. A lot has happening in the world, want you to be aware of that. And this is why we have this platform for that. And I know it's helped many of you, it has helped me. And we just need to continue that overall direction. So definitely, please support the network. You can use the social media platform for all of your social media activities without having to worry about being adversely affected. It's not, no one is data mining you. No one is and what I mean by data mining, taking your information, looking who you are, look who your friends are, look at what you're into, and you know, we give up too much information about ourselves You know, we put on social media what we do in private. And, you know, you might as well not be a private person at all, because everyone can see it. And they use that overall information to your disadvantage and their advantage. And sometimes it could be to your advantage, but some of the things that you do in private, there's a reason why it's called private. And the social media, the major social media platforms are not private at all, at all. So we really, really, really need to be aware of that and how that could really affect us and what that really means. So definitely want to make sure that you do that with VTR Community. It's a private membership for only $24. Only other members can see it. You can promote yourself, promote your business, promote things within reason that you are deemed as being necessary and important, which they definitely are. So please engage in that. $24 a year. Okay. Also, if you would like to acquire real money, and today's is a real important show, is that no cash. Oh, no, wait, what am I tripping off of? Let me real quickly. I know they got that wrong. Today's show is Financial Friday. No cash is safe. And, you know, we have to have the overall liquidity of cash, but the protection of money and with the value of money. And there's only a couple of things that can do that, and that is being the precious metals. It is both currency and money. It has all of the beneficial attributes of currency, and all of its attributes as money is beneficial. But all the attributes of cash, of currency, is not beneficial. You don't have to worry about that with precious metals. And many people don't know that and haven't gotten it because it hasn't been taught to them. They haven't engaged in it. They don't know, and it hasn't been something where it's protected them in the past. But the individuals that the overall metals have protected in the past, they know the difference between currency and money, and they leverage themselves accordingly to that. So you need to do that. That's going to be some of the things with today's show, where we're going to be in today's Financial Friday. No cash is safe. And so you need a safe for real money. You don't need a safe for cash, because it's not anything that actually can be preserved. Okay? It cannot be preserved. So those of you that have safes, don't put cash in the safe. That's a misnomer. It's not safe in there. You put real money in a safe because you're preserving it. Cash cannot be preserved. While you put it in the safe, it's losing what you're trying to protect it from. You losing it, and you are losing it with it. And we're going to get into that. So let's jump into – well, no, before we do that, there's a Legacy Wealth Management seminar that's going to be happening September the 15th and 16th. If you would like to attend, definitely email me at wolf6pack1@gmail.com, wolf6pack1@gmail.com. If you'd like to acquire real money, go to prosperitymint.com. Check out what's in inventory there. And then what you're going to do is email info@prosperitymint and let them know that you're a Tando Radio Show listener, okay? And it's not going to be for marketing or anything else. It's for your benefit. So please, definitely, definitely do that, okay? All right, so we're going to jump into today's show. I don't know how long I don't know if we're going to do a 2-hour show today, but we definitely will do the hour, and I'm thinking that we will do the hour depending on how some, let me see. Yep, we will definitely get that done. All right, so here we go. So what's in the news? What's in the news? I got this from Business Insider. Chinese bombers are extremely active, and the Pentagon thinks they're training for strikes against the U.S., against U.S. targets. Chinese bombers have become increasingly active in flying further from China's shores, according to the Defense Department's report released yesterday on Thursday. The Pentagon suspected that the Chinese might be training for strikes against U.S. targets, as well as sending a message to other regional actors that the Chinese are capabilities are improving. Check out that article. This whole thing is at some point is going to meet another level, and that another level is going to be very damaging to the everyday person. Next article got from Sputnik News. Turkey to retaliate if U.S. slaps more sanctions, says the celebrity figurehead finance minister. On Thursday, U.S. Treasury On Thursday, U.S. Treasury celebrity figurehead Secretary of State Steve Mnuchin, I call him Mnuchin, amidst the continuous deterioration of the bilateral ties between the United States and Turkey, announced that a new set of sanctions will be imposed upon imposed upon Turkey if the American pastor Andrew Brunson, held on terrorist charges in Turkey, is not released. So, boy, it's going to, and this is all a part of what's happening, and we'll get into some of that as well. Next article from move this down. Economa. No sellers, let alone China. No sellers, let alone China, can disrupt U.S. via selling U.S. treasuries. But why? This ain't good. But why? This ain't good. That's what it says. What it says, but why ain't good. So check out that article. I often read that China may retaliate against the U.S. trade sanctions by further decreasing the U.S. Treasury holdings, sending the Treasury yield significantly higher, thus blowing out the U.S. deficit spending and interest payments. Trouble is China's Treasury's holding peaked in 2014. So check out that blog. Interesting stuff. Next article, I got this from Active Post. Economic contagion. Central banks are the real culprit. So true. So that's what's in the news. Didn't get that much in there. Wanted to jump into today's show. And I knew that we may have an abbreviated show depending on everyone. And so I wanted to definitely get right into it. So if you'd like to get in on the conversation at any time, let me just set up here. Excuse me one second. Excuse me while I take a breeze. Okay, so let me get into the chat room, Justin. So we're there. I'm not there right now. So if you have a question or comment, I'll be there in before we open it up for those that questions or comments. Just say excuse me, and I will hear you and bring you up as soon as my computer is up there, and it's taking some time. All right, so let me close some of these windows so that'll help. Okay, so today's show, cash is no safe, no cash, Susan, no cash is safe. Very important. Yesterday we were looking at how the FBI had an announcement that they anticipate a major global cyber attack. And I was just telling you, talking about how that could happen and the relevance of it. And so today we want to talk about what you should be doing regardless of where you are economically, from any position, from having a lot of cash or not having cash, or having resources, not having resources. What you should be doing, and this should become a practice of yours anyhow. Okay, one of the most important things is to in my estimation, is to realize that cash is not money and it's not a safe thing to actually hold. It's something that you should use, and you should use it wisely, but it's not something that you should hold. You never, ever, 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 ever should hold cash, especially in today's environment. Now, I'm not saying that you go and liquidate and you spend it all. No, what I say by you never hold, you never save in cash. Never, ever save in cash, and not in today's economy. If anybody tells you that you need to save in cash, I don't care who they are, they're wrong. They're absolutely wrong, 100% wrong. And doesn't matter if they're an economist out of Harvard University or from MIT or wherever. Whatever, they could have won the Nobel Peace Prize for economics. If anyone tells you that you need to be saving in cash, they're absolutely wrong, no matter what the circumstances or what the criterias are. No, 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 no. See, that is something that we've been taught, and it's what is causing great distress to us financially, where we are disenfranchised and not able to do the things that we should be able to do. We actually can do everything financially, But we're going about it the wrong way. We're going about it a way that will never, ever, ever get us there. It will be we will be wandering in the desert, in the wilderness forever. Because what we should be doing is the things that will get us to be able to create and build the promised land. And cash cannot be a part of that overall. It can't be a part of that overall process. But if it is a part of that process, it has to have a very defined role in that process. And in that role, it can't be something that you consider as a valuable holding instrument. And anyone that does that, they're economically and financially wrong in all systems, man's created financial system and the ecosystem that the great creator made. Absolutely wrong. 100% wrong. And I would challenge anyone that thinks that would say, no, Dave, you may be missing something or this and that. Great. Call in. Let me know. But I guarantee you this is what's going to happen. It's not true what you're saying. In any circumstance. In any circumstance. Unless you're holding cash for one reason and one reason only. Because you want to lose. You want to lose purchasing power. Now, if that is your overall ideal to do things, then cash is your instrument. If you want to lose momentum, you want to lose pace, you want to lose the overall leverage, monetary leverage, then cash is one of the best things that you could do for that. And there's a bunch of other things, you know, from gambling to doing this and doing that. There's a bunch of other things that you can do. All of it's based around cash, currency. There is no safety in cash as far as establishing prosperity if you're not using it correctly. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't use it. You definitely should use it. But you should only use it for what its capabilities are and never overextend thinking that it's something else. It ain't money. Just to put it, make it plain, it ain't money. It never has been. It never will be, no matter what they do to it. Even by backing it with an asset, it's still not money. Because it's backed by an asset, meaning the frontage, the overall forward momentum is in your possession, and it is the currency itself, the piece of paper. It ain't money. The only way that currency can become money, excuse me, the only way that cash can become, well, it can't become money at all. Absolutely, we can't become money. Because if you have, let's say, a gold dollar bill and is made out of 24-karat gold, it's not cash anymore. It's money. Pieces of paper is cash. Currency is cash based off of a contractual debt agreement or a note. That can never, ever, ever, ever be money. Can it be monetized or other things? Yes, it can. But it's still not money. And by it not being money, it's very important that you have the right relationship with it. Very, very important. So today's show, we're definitely going to touch on that, in that cash is not safe. And I guess I should have said cash is not a safe haven. You should be using it to acquire assets. You should be using it to pay your standard of living, quality of life. And what do I mean by that? You want to be able to have a place to stay, have a vehicle to get around in, things of that nature. You should be using cash for those things. You should be using debt for all liability. Then you should be using your overall debt instrument to acquire money. That's where you should be saving and only should be saving. You should move never have a savings in cash. You don't need to do that because you put yourself in a position, in a very perilous position, and you actually, you can never save really enough. You're going to have to do so what it is that you're trying to save for, because you're saving in the, you're saving. This is a treadmill saving. You're not going anywhere and you're burning up a bunch of energy. Now, can the treadmill be beneficial? Yeah, for, you know, for exercise. But you're not using cash for exercise. Unless you're in Venezuela, where you're going to go buy a gallon of milk and you're going to use cash as exercise, because you're going to have to put it in the barrel and lift it, because they're not counting it. They're weighing it. Big difference, and it's going to be it's going to happen here in a much worse way, much more defined. So there was an article, while I'm looking around real quickly, there was an article we talked about yesterday about the overall advisement from the FBI that there was going to be a terrorist act, or cyber terrorists were situating themselves. To have a global ATM attack. And I don't think it's going to be a global ATM attack. It's going to be a global bank attack. So when we were talking about today's show, we want to talk about what you should be doing about that and how you should be protecting yourself. And it's not hard. It's very easy. It just takes a little discipline, takes a different mindset. And then once you do this, you will realize something immediately. I've been doing everything wrong from the beginning. Now, this is, in my best interest. This is one of the things that are in my best interest. Because when this collapse happens, because everything is setting up geopolitically for global attacks to happen that are sponsored, that are state sanctioned attacks from this country to that country this year, and they all just do one thing: attack the people. They don't attack each other; they attack the people. And this is, and the overall stage is being set for all of that to happen globally, and it will. Here's some of the things that you should be doing until that happens. One, you want to definitely have a plan for you and your family. Because just think about how difficult it would be for you to navigate your daily life without having any cash from your ATM, from your debit card, or from cash from that you may have in the bank that you can't get to, and cash that you have at home that is no longer being accepted. Meaning, you can't go and buy anything with it. They're saying no, you can't do that. And it's happened. And as a recent thing I like to use is Cyprus. People will try to go places to buy with cash, and they kept telling them no, you can't buy it, you can't get anything with that, you can't exchange that piece of paper for this, because people weren't willing to give up something of value for something that had no value, because we were so used to saying, okay, well, then you could take this cash and go buy something else that you need. No, because when I get that cash, I'm going to be holding the debt that nobody else wants, because I don't want yours.
Hey,
I don't want that piece of paper. because I'm not going to be able to go and get a medium of exchange, get anything else for that. So you're just going to be giving me a bunch of paper that I'm going to have piled up like your overall shred box or you know, at work or at home, the papers you need to shred. I'm going to just have a box full of cash that I'm not going to be doing anything with, and everything that I have of value is going to be leaving me? No.
Hey, Dave.
Scotty, did you? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
I want to add another perspective to what you're talking about in terms of holding cash. Antonio Moore, who's an attorney who works on a lot of financial issues, he has a YouTube channel called Tone Talk. Then there's another economic analyst that I recently became aware of. He's a black male as well. His name is Sandy Darity. Both of those guys just came out with a report, and they focus on the issues in the disparity in so-called wealth. Now, I understand your definition of wealth isn't the same as many of the other people's definition of wealth, you know, because you're, and I agree with you, you know, if it's a bunch of cash that can be devalued at any time, inflation can affect it,
right?
That you know, precious metals and real property, you know, land and stuff is a true form of wealth versus this cash. But here's the thing, though, everything you're talking about, I think it's going to have less of an impact on the black community for the simple reason that the black community don't have a lot of cash wealth. And I've seen other organizations that have put out information saying that for every $100 a white family has, a black family only has $5. So that's what I mean when I say that because of these economic disparities, which haven't been good, but it could lessen the impact on black families than it would a white family who has all, you know, $100 versus our $5. I actually think that the black community and any impoverished community will be more adaptable to any kind of adverse economic situations in the future because they've been in poverty so long and learning how to survive.
Yeah, that is definitely going to be a benefit. And what Scotty is saying is that also, you know, in our community, we don't have a lot of paper debt. They say paper assets, or we don't have, you know, we don't have stocks, bonds, retirement funds, and all of those other things. All of those things are all a form of a note, as debt. So there are other communities that hold tremendous amount of that. And here's what's going to happen. Even though the cash, we don't hold the cash, what is going to happen is that because we don't control a lot of the resources, what's going to happen is that cash is actually what gets some of the resources, the everyday staple goods of life, food and everything else, to come into our community for the purchasing of, you know, just your everyday life. Those that overall asset of food and everything is not going to come in and not be as available as it otherwise would be, because there is now an exchange problem. And the exchange problem is that the currency has lost its purchasing power, so that the overall store owner can't even purchase the overall goods for it to come in to be sold, because it's catching it both ways. He can't use the cash, and then the people that would be buying it don't have it anymore. So what does that do? It clogs up and it stops the overall transferring of goods, the moving of goods. And so, but Scotty's absolutely right. The overall exposure to the overall debt-based economy collapse, the impact is going to be much, much harder in those communities where debt is so a part of their everyday living that is going to affect them more. But debt is so ingrained and embedded in everything that we do, even if we have a lot of it or we don't have a lot of it. Everything around us, the overall contagious effect in the tapestry of this person, that person, this product, that product. All the intertwining of that is all based off of debt. None of it is based off of assets. And when that happens, this is where fuel doesn't come to the overall community. This is where food doesn't get transported there. And it's so many things. And it's very true, even though within, you know, you can hear other economists will say that, you know, our community is, you know, has a great deal of cash outflows, you know, to where it would be one of the 13th largest economies in the world if it was all condensed and synchronized into a national economy. That's what it would actually yield, the overall spending. And that's very significant. The good thing about that is this: because if we were to move into an asset now, when no one else is, one of the keys to profit, I always say this, the key to a profit is not where you sell, is where you enter the market. What do I mean by that? You always want to acquire an asset, not debt. You want to acquire an asset when the market is asking the wrong price for it, knowing that it is going to move in the opposite direction in the future, that the market is going to have to acknowledge its overall existence. And the market does that for this reason. It's not that they're naive or ignorant to it. It's that they're manipulating it down for a reason, because they are what? They are accumulating it because they know where it's going to go. So how do you get the accumulation of it? Is you push the overall price things of things down, because that makes everybody is price sensitive. They always think that value and price go hand in hand. It's just the opposite. Price has no bearing on the overall value. And value is actually something that's put into place not because of the price. They don't go hand in hand. But what they teach the everyday person to do, that if something is valuable, its price will be here. Its price will be higher. Why would they teach you that? Because they're teaching you to be manipulated, because they don't want you to know what value is. What is something of value? Something of value means it has sustainability power. It's valuable. You know, it's valuable. Consumer goods aren't valuable. That's speculative value or a want value. Let's say some rare Michael Jordan shoes. Let's say an athlete's signature. It's not valuable. But because there's a demand for it of people, that they're able to set a price for it, because people are willing to pay that for it. But it's not valuable. It's not truly valuable. It's consumerly sought after. It has a high consumer market, a high consumer speculative market. It's not valuable, because in actuality, it has no real intrinsic value that can sustain life. Everything that does have real intrinsic value that can sustain life, that's value. No matter where you are, water is valuable. A Michael Jordan autograph sneaker, original sneakers, ain't valuable. Don't care if he wore them in some of the NBA championships or you know, when he made a milestone or did this or do that, was his first pair. Don't care if it was from North Carolina. It doesn't matter. When he was in college, doesn't matter. It doesn't sustain life. It sustains life in a consumer market. And consumerism is always based in speculation. Speculation. So, yeah, what Scotty was saying is very, very true. It's extremely true that our community doesn't have And the thing about that is that the economic system that is going to be replaced, the debt-based system, is that even though we don't have much control in this system, the next system, the asset-based system, is going to be even worse, because the overall demand for assets, the finite assets, are going to be extremely highly sought after. And you have to see that before it happens. It's kind of like this. If you knew which area of the world was going to produce the most food, and you had the chance to buy farmland, and if you knew which area of the land, without, you know, you just knew from, without any scientific surveys or anything else, but you just had, you could just tell from looking at the soil which soil was going to have the most minerals and was going to be able to replenish itself for 1,000 years. And then you could, just from looking at the soil, and you knew that. Then there was another soil, and you was able to look at it and feel it and say, okay, this one is only going to be 10 years or 5 years worth of productivity, and this one is going to be 1,000 years of productivity. Which one would you actually want to acquire? Would you tell everybody, okay, this is the one that I'm going to try to acquire, because this one is going to, I could tell it's going to be, you wouldn't say anything. You would quietly do what? Say, okay, I'm going to move into this one. Because the productivity is going to be sustainable, and is bringing actual a commodity that is, no matter what the overall economic condition is, it still has to come to market because it's a necessity. Big thing is a necessity. We have to get into necessities, because that's where how we can protect ourselves. Even if you're on a very, you know, budget of, you don't have a lot of cash, you don't have a lot of disposable income, that's fine. Disposable income is after the bills and everything else, and you don't have one of the first bills that you should have is the first bill that you should have is to yourself. The first person that you have to pay for your overall labor output, before anybody else, before your mortgage, before this and before that, the first person that you should have on that list is you. The absolute first person should be you. You work for it, you earned it, you have to learn to keep it. And you have to learn to keep it in the proper form. Then you can start to go down and create your list of priorities of who should be getting paid from what's left. And then from there, you're never at the bottom. What the system teaches us is they tell you to pay other things first, and then pay yourself. And then by the time you get to your round to yourself, you don't do it. And then what does that put a social economic imprint on yourself to never pay yourself. To never pay yourself. And that's just how things work. In my opinion, here's what needs to really, really happen. Very easy. First thing you do from whatever you know the difference between money and currency. Money is what man can't create, is what the great creator has made. Currency is what man has made, and the great creator has nothing to do with it. Okay? Distinguish that. Get more of what the great creator has made and use what man has created to get it, and don't overextend and don't overexpose yourself to having what man has created. Another way to put it is this way. Whenever you get paid, first person that you should pay in money is yourself. What's money? Move that overall debt note payment and move it into an asset that is not debt-based. You move it into, depending on where you live, look at your overall circumstances. What are the things that you want to protect yourself from? And everybody's is different. Everybody's exposure is different. If you live in the cities, you need to be looking at, okay, if something went wrong here, how would I get out of the city? You need to start to get the right money around for you to get around the city, meaning a plan out of the city if you needed to leave. Or if you're going to stay, then you need to get the right money to go. Let's say you're going to leave the city. Then you're going to need to have the overall fuel to be able to get out of. So you're going to need the money fuel, gas to get out of the city. You're going to have to be able to get out of the city knowing that you're going to be in traffic jam. So you're going to have the overall means and plans with the overall resources to get out and to go somewhere else. Maybe you're going somewhere else because you have family or this or that. Everybody's circumstances is different. Well, if you're going to stay in the city, then what are the assets that you're going to need? What money form are you going to need to stay in the overall city and do well? Well, you're going to need food. You're going to need water. Those are assets that's not cash. That's not currency. That's money. You're going to need the right money form of money. So we should be looking at saving into real, true forms of money. And there's many forms of money. Best way to tell if it's money or not, as I said earlier, did the great creator make this or did man made it? If man made it, man made Michael Jordan shoes. It ain't money. It's not money. It's a tool. It's the instrument that actually can preserve and protect money. You can have shoes on your feet, and your feet are money. Shoes on your feet protect your money. But it's not the shoes that's so important. It's the feet themselves, your feet. Okay? So that's how you tell. If you have to come up with a plan of different things from where you are, because everyone's situation is diversely different and unique. What is it that you want to accomplish? What is it that you think that would be your greatest threat? You need to take an assessment of things. And then take an assessment of things, and now you can start to put into place the money that will help to mitigate the problems and maximize the opportunities. See, with the right money, you'll have the food to be able to endure some time when maybe food will not be readily available. And then you'll have the money to magnify the opportunities that will come during that time. This is where your gold and silver is going to be very profitable. In Cyprus, when they had their collapse, people went to using washing machines as a medium of exchange. Hey, I'll give you a washing machine. I got this washing machine. You give me 2 weeks or a month worth of food. See, that's an asset. For even though they took the money, the overall washing machine which man created is actually a form of is not money, but it was desired for because they already had the water that could use it. They had the money, so they would exchange things of value for something else. They would exchange gasoline for food. They would exchange their services for food or for whatever it is that they want. Gasoline, whatever asset that they needed. And believe me, whenever you go through an economic crisis, you realize something very quickly. I have a lot of stuff that nobody wants, because they're going to look and assess, can I use that for something? Now, as you start to come out of that, then that's where currency has more position. You can use it. The most important thing is this, is that if we all in our community right now acquire real money, gold and silver, particularly silver, food and all the other things that are the necessities and staples of life, if we do that now, here's what happens. When the economy collapses, all of the other individuals that were overexposed in liability, from debt to they had stocks, they had bonds, they had all of this stuff. See, all of that stuff is okay when everything is fine. When everything's not fine, you realize something. You quickly took years and years and years to acquire a certain mark or a certain position, and it will only take seconds to lose it, because that's manipulated and artificial. It was never truly there. It was never really truly there. Now, could that mean a year or two ago you could have took everything out and withdraw from that? Yes, you would have withdrawn that into cash, and then did what? Now you would have still had a debt instrument that you still would have needed to transfer into money for it to have any sustainability. So what happens is that there are others that are going to be, their debt exposure, their debt liability is going to be so great. And then the assets that they do have, they won't be able to hold on to. And when they're not able to hold on to those assets, what are they going to have to do? There's going to be a fire sale. They're going to have to liquidate those in order to just to make it. They're going to liquidate those by way of repossession and by way of fire sale. Either way, they're going to lose them. It may be a store owner who's got a profitable store business, but they're not protected. He or she is not protected from the overall debt-based economy implosion. And when that happens, they have this profitable business that has never really turned a profit, because what it always, only thing they deal with is it really was a business that acquired more debt instruments. They never made the transformation into it being profitable. You can't be profitable with a debt instrument. You have to turn that debt instrument into something that's sustainable outside of debt, so that the overall business owner didn't take their overall cash or debt instrument that they were gaining, and they didn't transfer it into something that's sustainable. So now when the debt implosion happens, they explode right along with it. It's just what's that? Spontaneous combustion. As soon as the economy blows up, so spontaneous combustion hits their overall lives. Boom, everything blows up. Because it means nothing anymore. You lost that opportunity to do something with it. And then when they don't do something with it, they're going to have to do what? Now they're going to see, oh, shoot, I need to get an asset now. And it's going to be too late. They're not going to be able to use that overall cash to do it. So what are they going to have to do if they have something of value? They're going to have to say, well, I got this brand new car. It's paid for and everything else. How about this? You give me some of the assets that you have, and I'll give you this car. I have this building. It's paid for. How about I sell this building to you for the asset? Now I can get an asset because I'm giving up an asset. But who is going to have the overall position of advantage? It's not going to be the overall seller. It's going to be the overall buyer, because the seller needs what the buyer has. So the buyer will actually be able to set the overall terms and set what the overall exchange rate will be. They may say, for a building, I'll give you 1 ounce of gold. And depending on that individual circumstance and depending on the overall climate at that time, that may be paying too much for it. But because that individual, years ago and today, they were acquiring things, they were acquiring the overall assets when the market was asking the wrong price for them, now they're able to use that leverage to acquire other assets. You only exchange an asset for another asset. You're not going to exchange the asset for a consumer good. For consumer goods. So the position that we should be in is pay yourself first. Pay yourself first. And I'm going to just tell you this. The great creator doesn't need your money. The great creator created money. You need the sustainability of what the great creator has deemed as being money. You need it. So, best thing to do is to come up with a plan, a family plan. This is how much currency comes in, because most people you know, probably to everyone you know, gets paid a slave wage in currency. But you don't have to save as a slave. Come and sit down with, make a plan. Okay, this is much coming in. Even if it's $2, $3, $4, you can turn that $2, $3, $4 into an asset. It's better to do it now, because the overall momentum that you'll gain from it is going to be more than $2 and $3 going forward in the future. Because it's going to be a sought after asset anyhow. This is the leverage, this is the positioning, this is the asymmetrical planning that needs to be happening within your home. Too important. Critical. So, let me see real quickly. Has to happen. Absolutely has to happen. So, best way to do it, have a plan. Get a plan with your family. Get a plan with people that you rely upon. Share information, share resources, share planning, and you'll do fine in this whole thing, because it's going to happen either way. What degree is going to happen at, I don't know. Will we have a Cyprus situation or a Venezuelan situation? I don't know, but we already have a situation now. We are economically disenfranchised already. We need to save ourselves from this current debt cycle that we're in, even without an ATM or banking attack. The people, our community is perishing because of it. And because we're not practicing these things and engaging in these things, it's putting us in a position that the economy has already collapsed on them. Another event is overkill. It's already destroyed us. And the only way out of that is in to engage it and respond to it and have the proper remedy for it, the appropriate remedy for it. And that's to have assets. That's to change our overall direction. That's to do something different. That's to pay ourselves first. And then in paying yourself first, developing the overall truthfulness of how the economy works. And how it disenfranchises us so that it won't be able to do that anymore. It won't be able to do that anymore. Because if we don't do that, What we've seen has been the plight in our communities will continue to decay our future. There needs to be appropriate response. We haven't responded to this appropriately in the past 5, 6, 7 generations. The older generations, they had a whole lot more than what, you know, today people think that, let's take a pro athlete, because a pro athlete has a $100 million contract, that they think that they made more than someone that was making only, you know, from way back, you know, where they were only making $1,000 a year. Not the truth. The overall purchasing power was even more with just $1,000 a year than the $100 million contract of today. And people would say, well, that's impossible. They got more. Yeah, they got more debt. Whoever has the most debt is losing. The $1,000 a year salary compared to from years and years ago, or even a century ago, had more economic standing than the $100 million contract today. It may not be as far as that, but it's darn near close, because the overall purchasing power of the dollar has lost 98% of its purchasing power. That's the truth. That's what's being hidden from us. That's what's not being taught. That's where we're naive to, and because we're naive to it, we don't know that we need to protect ourselves from it. There's a thief among us that we invite to dinner every day. We invite to our intimate family relationships, our family reunions, to our relationships with our immediate family. We take it to work with us. We take it to our entertainment things that we do. We take it to our children. It's called a dollar. You put it in our pocket and we take it everywhere. Called the Federal Reserve note, the paper dollar. We take it everywhere with us. We give it to somebody with a smile, like we just blessed them with something. No, we just cursed them. We cursed them in debt we trust. And it's showing the overall where the cancer is, showing how much it's spread and how influential it is. So listen, let me, today's show, I'm not going to be able to do another hour, but what I'm going to do is that I want to take a commercial break real quick. And if there's any questions or comments, definitely give us a call, 704-802-5056, 704-802-5056. If there's a specific situation that, you know, we can help you with on how to prepare for this, definitely give us a call. There's not going to be any calls. No problem. We'll have a full 2-hour show on Monday. So we're going to go to the commercial break, and then we'll do one more thing. And then if there's not any callers or anything else, what we'll do is that we'll conclude the show. And then, but we'll have a full 2-hour show on Monday, great creator willing. So listen, we're getting ready to go to a commercial break. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056. If there's any questions about what we were talking about, definitely we'll be here. If not, we're going to conclude the show, and then we'll pick up on a 2-hour show on Monday. And I would just say that it's very important that we exchange our valuable labor for something of value in return. Because when we do that, now we are putting ourselves in a position to have a legacy of wealth and prosperity that we can leave as an inheritance. a life insurance policy that's going to give debt to not be the extent of our inheritance that we leave forward. But not only that, is the current standard of living. Having, you should be your own financial advisor, and that needs to be fundamentalized in some truths. One, if someone went to school on the economy and how to manipulate the economy, it's not going to be for the benefit of getting you to prosperity. It's going to be where they're going to be exploiting you. They have to get certified to do that. Because they're in that certification, there's an allegiance. There's a pledge of allegiance that they support the overall man's economy at the expense of their clients. And there really is, if the individual, the financial advisors, the individuals, they know that this whole market is manipulated. They just don't tell you that. What sustainability are they actually instructing you in how to do? They'll show you how to engage in the overall manipulative market. So it may not so-called manipulate you so much, but it does. You can't visit a dragon without being in the dragon's den. Can't do it. So we got a caller out of North Carolina. Welcome, caller, to Tando Radio Show. What's your name and what is your question or comment? What up, Big Mike?
Hey, how you doing, Dave? I just want to say, man, I appreciate y'all new time so much. I just just had to tune in. And I was catching you talking about how we need to prepare for this and save for this. And, you know, it just caught me this. How many people that don't have access to real money, i.e. assets or things of value? And I was like, what are they going to do? They just going to perish? They just going to be a burden to us when this come through? And I was saying, you know, no, because they could prepare too. And I wanted you to expand on how they could prepare. As far as, you know, around here, we're in the South, and we have people called scrapping. They go scrapping, metal scrapping.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
If you can't save millions of dollars or put up gold bricks or silver bricks, you can't go scrapping and preserve precious metals. That is a form of money,
yeah,
of real money that can be redeemed for asset. You know what I mean? And I also recycling. You know what I mean? Bottles, glass bottles, they can be melted down and made into something else. You know what I mean? See,
yeah,
if you can't get the $3,000 down, I mean, what is it, 3.5% to put down for an FHA loan? You got to put down 3.5% first time homeowner. That won't even tell you that all you need, you don't even have to have that much. If you want to live in a city, you do. But if you want to live in a rural area, they got FHA loans for rural housing that you put no money down, you just immediately start making payments. You just got to qualify on your credit score. So we're not having them conversations with each other to attain these assets. $3,500 down can get you a $100,000 house in any part of North Carolina. $3,500 down. Most of these people get double that on their tax returns and don't own nothing. You know what I mean? Don't own nothing. So if you think you don't have the money to save, you think there's no way to prepare for you, look around you. There's other things you can do to prepare for this. That's all I had to say.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, you're wrong if you think that you can't prepare for this, is what Mike is saying. That's so true. There's so many things you could do. Yeah, go ahead, Scotty.
Yeah, to go along with Mike, and he mentioned here in the South, I'm in the same county that he lives in, and I was actually looking at some tiny houses the other day, and because you have a couple of North Carolina companies that build tiny houses. Now, Now, let's just say you all your children grown, they out the house or whatever, you still renting and you've never bought a house. You know what I'm saying? And you don't want to jump into $100,000, $200,000 or more of debt. Man, some of these tiny houses is tight, man. And you can, they come with full appliances. And then, if you need more space, you can even build a deck, you know, expand the deck. Some of them come with decks and what have you. And so, but I was looking at those tiny houses because I was looking at them in terms of, well, maybe I could use one of these for a media center or something. I saw one of the tiny houses was only like $60,000. And they hook it come with all that's with all the utilities, electric stove, microwave, sink, bath, shower, everything that you need. Okay? So I'm with him now in terms of preparing. Like he was talking about, if you can't, you know, get gold bricks and all of that to be stacking. Well, what's an asset? Well, you touched on this the other day, Dave. You said food is an asset, didn't you? And so saving seeds, which is what I do every time this farmer gives, that's across the street, bring, you know, he just keep leaving food because he can't eat it all by himself. He just like growing it. But we save those seeds. That's preparing for the future in case something break down. You can also prepare, and I mentioned this before, by buying fishing gear and hunting gear. That's preparing.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to touch upon that. I toss it back to you, Dave.
Yeah.
Dave, I got one more.
Go ahead, Mike.
Scotty just touched on something. He just hit it right on the head. Scotty, you don't realize 2 weeks ago, me and my father went to South Carolina down to, I think it was Clover, and we bought a small house, just like you're talking about. And my grandfather had left some land beside his house up here where we live at, and it's just a clear lot that we always park on when we going down to Granddaddy house for get-togethers, Christmas or whatever, you know what I mean? And everybody just park over there, and we just put a small house over there. Me and my father invested in that 2 weeks ago. We just bought a small house. Now, we got to, you know, do the sheetrock and electrical work and plumbing to get it up to where we can have somebody living in it for another source of income. But we're about to buy two more of these houses. You know what I mean? I think we've spent like $5,000 and it's like 700 or 800 square feet. You know what I'm saying? But it's 8 foot, 7 foot, 8 foot ceiling. Hey, listen. If y'all don't know, you don't need much to survive. You know what I'm saying? If they house millions of us in these 6 by 9 cells or whatever. You know
That's
what I
right.
mean? Then you really don't need that much. If you go look at some of these older houses or some of these older properties, these houses ain't no more than about 300-400 square feet, if that. You know what I mean?
Hey Mike, you live in the same area I do. What you're talking about? Look at all of these meal houses. They ain't that
come
big.
Come on now. That stuff we should own. That stuff that we should own. As black people, that's something you can reach out and grab, especially in these small towns. If you live in a small town, just let me give you the number. Because I just bought a house like 2 years ago, so I was studying up on all these loans that I could qualify for. If you live in a place with less than 10,000 people per square mile, you qualify for what they call a federal housing rural loan, which means you can go out here in one of these counties or a rural country, I mean, right outside in the suburbs, and get you a house, find your house for sale, and say, I take this. Qualify, all you need is a 640 credit score. 640. And you qualify for this loan. All you need to do is with 640 is go to the real estate people and say, I want to buy this house. Boom, start my paperwork. And you qualify. You own an asset. You own land. You own property. That easy. 10,000 square miles. I mean, 10,000 people within a square mile. It's all of these little intricacies that we need to be discussing so that our people can be prepared. So our people won't be the ones to say, man, well, we got a whole class of people that don't own nothing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's going to be real easy to subjugate them to whatever we want to do to them. Because they don't own nothing. They can't take care of nothing. You know what I mean? But y'all go ahead and continue. I'm going to meet with them.
And you know, but no, Mike, hold, because the thing is that one of the things that is in critical is that you have to start asking questions, what can I do? And you have to start putting energy into it and finding out what it is. Mike, Scotty, Roz, what up, Big Roz? What up, Jenna? Jenna, all these individuals started asking questions and started saying, what can I do? See, what has to what can't happen is we can't wait for somebody to do it for us and for somebody to tell us we need to do it and give us the motivation to do it and give us the and do it for us. You're gonna have to do it yourself and find out where it is from where you are. Mike did that. Scotty's doing. You're gonna have to start noticing things, and you start small. I'm gonna tell you, you can make $1 billion off of something that's really, really, really small. And building it out. It's going to take a process.
Listen.
It ain't going to be easy. It ain't going to be right away and all that other stuff. You got to be committed to this is who I am.
Listen, Dave.
And when you're committed to that, then you end up like Mike. You can. He sees all of these opportunities because he's looking. And he's doing more than just looking with his eyes. More importantly, he's speaking it, and he's doing it with his will, going after it and saying, hey, I could do this and I could do that because I need to do this because of this, and I want to make sure that myself and my family is prepared.
Hey, Dave.
This is what really takes.
One of the ideas while I was looking at those tiny homes, they're websites. Mike, look up North Carolina tiny homes. There's about two different companies that's building these little homes. So I was thinking the other day, because you know how trailer parks are in Gaston County, right? And so I'm looking at this land that's collectively in my family, and I'm like, man, we could start a tiny home park where it's nothing but rows of tiny homes and renting them out.
I'm sorry. Yeah,
hold on, Mike. We got some background noise.
My father, man.
That's right. That's right. That's all right, the babies. Tell the babies I said what's up. Go ahead, Scotty.
No, that's all I was saying. You know, that was my point.
No, I missed
that
the last part
opportunity.
Say that again, Scotty.
I was saying, let's say you get a plot of land, and some of these tiny homes is like 750 square feet. Some are smaller, some are larger.
Right.
And they give on the website, they give you the pictures of the models and right. And so you got a lot of people, man, that are retired. They're perfect for retirement homes or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
It's perfect for a couple starting out, you know. And so I was thinking, okay,
right.
If you can get a tract of land, like when you look at these trailer parks, it's not a huge amount of land, but they line them trailers up and then rent them out. And what have you. And so I was like, man, you could do the same thing with the tiny homes. Because those companies will, I mean, they even hook it, everything. Just, okay, for the one that's $60,000. Fully furnished, all the appliances. And then they'll even hook it to the grid. But then just think, though, you could power a tiny home totally on solar power.
But totally on solar power.
I'm just talking
right,
about
Scotty.
The opportunities that's out there that we're not seeing.
Yeah. And we have to look at them. We have to be available to look at them. And that is where it really meets the rub. And it takes a commitment for us to do that. No one else can do that for you. Because, you know, Scotty is in North Carolina. He's not in San Francisco. He's not in L.A. He's not in Louisiana. And so you have to have the motivation and you have to have the overall, because you have the talent and ability. You just have to get out there and do it and find it. And it is there. It is definitely there. So let me see real quick. Let me see if there's any other callers in queue. Let me just see real quick here. One second. No other callers in queue. Okay. So, hey, everyone. I'm going to have to get out of here. We'll do a two-hour show. Here's the most important thing. Start where you are. Start paying. You pay yourself first. Take your cash, your paper, the green paper, turn it into coins, dimes, quarters, nickels, because that is not currency. That's a form of money. It's not the highest form of money, but it's not the overall debt. It is not going to lose its purchasing power like your dollar bills will lose it. You know, have your change machine. I mean, your change. Remember when we were growing up, everyone had the coin, you know, the little jugs of coins and everything else. Have that, have that, have that. If someone is ever wants to, you know, when you go to the store, if they're going to give you back $1 in change, in cash, in the Federal Reserve note, tell them, no, don't give it to me that way. You have four quarters, you got 10 dimes, you got some nickels. Could you give me, I actually need the change. I need the coins. Because what you're doing is you're not having a debt instrument. You're actually having a form of sponsored money. Even though it's is not as high, the melt value isn't as high, but it's better than having the overall piece of paper, because that is what's going to go to zero. So, all right, all y'all, much love, much respect. Monday we'll have a 2-hour show. It's never goodbye. As always, we'll see you later. We'll talk to you soon. Peace.
Gold dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.